Welcome to the SB Live California podcast. Connor Morissette and Bodie DeSilva with you here on a Wednesday. Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest California high school sports news, scores, videos, polls, photos, podcasts, player rankings, and a whole lot more. With the SB Live Sports app, it is now even easier to follow your favorite teams with real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more. The app delivers all the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country. It's your number one source for California high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Lance Smith, Bodie DeSilva, and me. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. Bodie, all right, these last 3 months for high school sports, really, really busy. Today, the state office announces that there will be regional championships in a bunch of sports, baseball, specifically basketball, softball. It's only for Southern California, and I'll read the full press release here in a second, but your reaction to San Diego section, Southern California sections, which are Central, LA, San Diego, and Southern, getting these regional championships. Any action right now in high school sports is good, so I'm happy. But a little bit we can break down in a second. But your takeaways?
Yeah, no, I'm glad to see that the kids will get something beyond their section championships. I know some of the Northern California areas don't even have those or aren't planning on them this year. So for the kids down here in San Diego, I know they're always excited when they get to play other sections. And even with it not being the normal year of a huge bracket and playing all the way through, it looks like it'll still be a really competitive event. I think maybe even more so than normal times, with fewer teams being able to get in. And the inclusion of baseball is one I'm excited for. It's always tough without being able to throw your same pitcher in multiple games like in other sports where you'd have your same group going. So I think that'll create a lot of interest, and glad to see baseball and softball be involved.
Yeah, baseball, I believe, was supposed to start a year ago and obviously got canceled. And I forget if that's 100%. Either last year is supposed to start or this year, so I'm glad it is. Let me read the press release quickly. At this time, the California Interscholastic Federation is pleased to announce that Southern California regional championship events will be offered in baseball, basketball, golf, soccer, softball, tennis, and boys volleyball. So they're all the regional sports that'll have them. As has been the case throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, the CIF will need to be flexible and will be prepared to adjust the remaining championship schedule as necessary in an effort to complete CIF section championships. That's the priority, which it's always been. And then they explain about the Northern section. With only two of the six Northern California sections offering championships at this time, Central Coast and Oakland, it is not feasible for the state to conduct Northern California regional championships. Also, due to limited number of sections in Northern California conducting championships coupled with potential logistical travel issues, the state will not be hosting state championships in swim and dive, track and field, and wrestling. So, got a feel for the kids in wrestling. Everything that they're doing is getting canceled, so that's too bad. But I just want to say credit to the sections down here, and I want to use the right language. I think for the most part, a lot of sections maybe could have been in a position to have some postseasons, and they maybe canceled too soon. Again, I'm putting words in people's mouths, but I think down here, there was a very big effort to have postseasons, and I think up north, the sections maybe canceled a little bit too soon, so I feel bad for some of those teams up there. But looking at the San Joaquin section, I think they have so many counties that maybe one county was straggling in the purple or red tier or something, which might have prohibited them from having the playoffs. But down here, I'm just happy that we will get a postseason after everything got canceled a year ago. And I feel bad for those kids up north who won't have postseasons. But what's nice about here is there are going to be section championships and then CIF state regional championships. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, the way the numbers keep going in our counties down here, it's definitely good news of progressing through each of the tiers. And we're less than 2 months away now, as the tiers will be going away, right, as these playoff, as we talked about, regionals, with being in the middle of June, right, when those go away. So it seems like the perfect time for them to expand it a little bit. And as we head into next year, get a little bit of this state playoff that we're so used to. So,
if there is a regional baseball champ from San Diego, who are some of those teams who are in the mix?
Yeah, the favorite to me would definitely be Rancho Bernardo. It's a really senior-heavy team. They were undefeated till just last week. They were 14-0 at that point, lost 3-1 to La Costa Canyon. But what was impressive to me was they ended up playing LCC 2 days later in the tournament championship and beat them 11-0. So they were able to put that game behind them, losing a game with their number one starter on the mound and come back and shut them out using a freshman. So it's a team that the top four in the order have all signed with Division I. They've got a top flight pitcher in Colin Rothermill heading to Kansas State. So that would be a team I'd look for. And then and Grossmont, they've been a really, not a surprise, but they're up to number two in my rankings this week. And that's a team that they hit so many home runs. So you get them in a game and suddenly you got to outscore them. So they're a tough one.
I have no idea who's going to come out of the Southern section this year in that top division because there are so many great teams. Yeah. Jay Serra, I think, has to be the favorite just because of their talent, but just up and down all over the section, there are some really, really good teams. I mean, up north, you have West Ranch and Santa Clarita, and they're unable to play other teams outside their district, so they look great now. We'll see when they face some better competition in the postseason. Way east, you have Yucaipa, who's great. You have Ayala, who's great. And then in Orange County, in addition to Jay Serra, there are a million great teams. So that's going to, whoever comes out of that, it's going to be amazing. Let me run through some dates. So the last day for regional championships in soccer, June 5th. Tennis, June 5th. Boys volleyball, June 12th. Golf, June 15th. Basketball, June 19th. Baseball, June 26th. And softball, June 26th. So hopefully on that June 26th date, that's a Saturday, we'll see a regional championship in baseball where if it's a San Diego representative, you'll be there for sure, Bodie, maybe even not because that's going to be such a big game. So that's definitely something to look forward to. June 26th, there's going to be a regional championship in baseball for the first time. So good news for teams down here, not necessarily great news for everyone. Feel bad for the track athletes who have no state championship again, but what are you going to do? Okay, so I wanted to hit on that. And moving on, I think, Bodie, we agreed to talk about some breakout candidates in basketball and baseball. And then I want to finish the show with the NFL draft starting tomorrow with some guys who we think could be pro players down the line from our coverage areas in football. But let's start with, I guess, let's keep the baseball trend going. Who are some breakout guys who have maybe started hot or you think will finish the year really well in your neck of the woods for baseball?
Yeah, the first guy I'll talk about is Quincy Scott. He's a 6'4 senior at Mission Hills, football player as well. And it's just impressed me every time I've gone to see him play. He's been a varsity guy since his sophomore year. And they only got in 8 games last year, and he was hitting .536 before it was shut down. But he's come back this year and hitting .487 so far in 14 games and 7 doubles. I'm just really surprised as a guy who really good center fielder and really can hit the ball that he hasn't signed with a college yet. So I would expect him as the guys we get further along, the college interest will pick up on. And I've just been super impressed every time I've seen him.
And you feel bad for seniors in his position who had the year shortened last year and their recruiting opportunities go down. But baseball is weird. You get a lot of kids committing very, very early.
And so much of the baseball, they're committing in these summer events, maybe with a club team, and aren't often seen by colleges during their high school season. So it's tough to kind of relay the message. And at this point, it's so many of the pro scouts coming out to see them. And if they don't see that a kid's signed, maybe they think, oh, he shouldn't be on our radar at this point. So that can always be tough.
Definitely. I'm going to start with a kid who I think the only reason he's at all under the radar, and to be honest, he's probably not even under radar just because of his age. But this kid, Bryce Rayner at Harvard Westlake, he's a freshman and he's a UCLA commit. So, of course, how can you be under the radar when you're like that? But I think his age, it's his first year doing this, which is what's so impressive. But he had 8 strikeouts in 5 innings against Modern Day earlier this season. And I mean, I think he's like 6'3", 185. I don't know where they find these freshmen in Southern California, but. And we'll talk about the football players we think will be drafted. I'm going to mention a freshman. It's crazy. Even if a kid's been held back, where are they finding these should be sophomores? You know, they're still way bigger than any high school kids that I knew growing up. But a Harvard-Westlake team that I don't want to say is rebuilding this year, but you felt bad for them last year when they had a senior-heavy team that really could have pushed for that Southern Section Championship. So I don't think they're ever rebuilding, but they are, because they're a perennial power. But he's a guy who, okay, people didn't know him last year because he was in middle school, and he's a freshman now. Maybe he gets hot in the playoffs and they ride a freshman to a championship. That would be quite the story. But if you haven't heard of Bryce Rayner, he is someone to absolutely be paying attention to. 2024 in Harvard-Westlake. Very, very good player. Anyone else you want to highlight, Bodie?
Yeah, the second guy I'll talk about, Sebastian Granados. He's a senior at Steel Canyon, and he has signed with Cal State Northridge, but was really a guy that I hadn't heard a ton about until coming into this season. He's been a four-year varsity guy. He's homered in every season he's been on varsity, but his play's really picked up this year. He's hitting .462. But the most impressive thing to me is on the mound. He's thrown 27 and two-thirds innings and has struck out 51, only allowed two earned runs. So they're playing really good competition. I actually got to see him against Quincy Scott in Mission Hills earlier this year. Another guy who I expect by the time he gets to Northridge, we'll see. Maybe he ends up being a guy that plays in the field and pitches, but a bright future either way he decides to go.
In the LA City section, sophomore Gavin Taylor at Birmingham looks like the real deal. He's a great pitcher. He's already hit a walk-off grand slam this season, so anytime you can do that, that is an indicator that you're pretty good. Birmingham, the team that it seems like they always win the city championship. This year it's going to be a lot of fun because I think they're right up there. Everyone in that league is really good, that West Valley League, so we'll see what Birmingham can do with the postseason. They don't usually win the league in the regular season, but then go on to win the championship at Dodger Stadium. I don't think it'll be at Dodger Stadium this year, sadly, with COVID and everything, but they're still going to be up there in terms of city favorites. But you have to throw San Pedro in there as well. They just played a 10-inning game over the weekend, Birmingham and San Pedro. But Gavin Taylor, a sophomore, is someone I'm excited to go up to the San Fernando Valley and check out because, like I said, anytime you have that great arm mixed with great power, that's really, really exciting, and looking forward to checking him out.
Yeah, if we move over to basketball, the one that I've seen here, Camden McCormick, he's a junior at Francis Parker, another three-year varsity guy, and they never have a ton of guys on the roster, usually an 8-9-man group, but has picked up his play big time this year. In five games, he's averaging 18 points and 10 rebounds per game, and from three, shooting 11 for 25. I know he was just, I think, 8 of 10. Maybe 6 of 10 their last two games. So a guy that definitely seems like he's playing with a lot of confidence. And they're a team that likes to play really fast and get up three. So he's a guy I think will really flourish. And come next year, I would expect a huge senior year from him.
The story of the early basketball season here in the Southern section has been Etiwanda. They haven't played many games, but they were 0-0 going up in their first game against Damien, who was 15-0. And even though Etiwanda is traditionally really good, I think most people thought, okay, Damien has played 15 games. Etiwanda will be rusty. They're rebuilding. Damien should win. And, of course, that's not what happens. Etiwanda comes out and wins by 4 points. And they lost. They were very senior-heavy last year. They started four seniors. They all left, obviously. And the question was, all right, who's going to replace them? Etiwanda had a great JV team a year ago, and they call in some of those guys. Biggest under-the-radar player I've seen so far, Marcus Green from Etiwanda. He had 17 points and 8 rebounds and a win over Damien. Everyone is looking at Jemai Meshack at Etiwanda, their senior who's signed with Tennessee as their go-to guy, and he certainly is, but he needs help. You can't beat teams, especially in the Southern section, with just one player, and Marcus Green was someone who stuck out to me in that win against Damien, and all of a sudden it looks like Etiwanda again is the team that maybe will most likely challenge Sierra Canyon for a championship. So he's been on my list. I'm really excited to watch them play this season because I think that Etiwanda team with Dave Kleckner, they're always so great defensively, and that's what makes them so tough to beat. But it looks like on offense they're going to be pretty good too.
Yeah, the other guy here, he's not often seen. He plays at Calvin Christian, which is a really small school down here. But Martin Gumwell, 6'11 sophomore, and they're off to an 8-0 start. And he's averaging 19 points and 14 rebounds a game. You could argue, obviously, he could be at a higher level school, but that's that's the school he's at for now. And I think the college interest is starting to come around, but this is a guy that I think down the road, he's just scratching the surface of what all he can be and blocking so many shots. And you look at the field goal percentage, only one game as he shot under 50%. So he knows kind of his role of getting the paint, get the easy shots and take advantage of your size. So he's one as you go down the road, I think we'll see a lot of great things at. And especially with him being a sophomore, I think they'll have the chance to move up a division or two during his time there. So hopefully by the time he's a senior, they'll be playing some big public schools.
The other guy for me, Bodie, I saw modern day destroy Los Alamitos, but Los Alamitos had one player who I thought stuck out, big man by the name of Hadi Asaley. And what makes his performance in that game even more impressive was that he's Muslim and it's Ramadan right now. So he couldn't eat or drink anything until that night when the sun goes down. The game tipped off at 7:30. He didn't start. They had him scarf down a sandwich and drink some water and then go in. And he picked up a couple and-one baskets. He was one of the only guys who looked like, okay, maybe if Los Al had a few other better players that they'd be hanging around with modern day, he looked like he belonged in that game. And he did some work down low with some of their the modern day bigs. They have three great forwards, and Hadi Asaley a couple times caught some balls down low, went up, got fouled. They got some key rebounds for him. So I'd like to see him play when he's able to eat in a regular schedule and just be more ready to go. Because he, like I said, he didn't even start in that game, but he averages 13 rebounds, I believe. And I know the Los Alamitos coach Eddie Cordemarsh thinks that his team can make some noise in Division II AA in the Southern Section. So yeah, he'll be a big reason why, but he's someone as a kind of a breakout star who's caught my attention so far. Anyone else, Bodie? Do you want to move on to some NFL stuff?
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay. Are you a Chargers fan? I forget.
No, not anymore. There was a time, but it took about half a year of watching them once they moved, and that was all I needed.
Do you like Herbert, though? He was fun to watch.
Yeah, no, he's definitely an impressive player, and it looks the way you draft quarterbacks, it's a 50-50 shot, it seems like, and it really feels like they got the right one with him.
Yeah, and I think we have talked about this before. You don't have a team, right? You're more player-based right now?
Yeah, I'm still searching at this point.
Okay. Well, I love the Patriots, so if you ever want to come watch a game with me, by all means.
That might be the last team I've
heard. Yeah, that's what everyone says. I understand.
After the times of them beating the Chargers.
Oh, yeah, that one year where they were 14-2.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, but the draft is tomorrow, Thursday. I'm really excited to see what the Patriots do. I think they're going to end up getting Jimmy G from the 49ers, so I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, that's not draft-related, but I'm sure it'll happen tomorrow. Okay. I want to finish with this. We're talking about the draft. Who are some players from our coverage areas who we think down the road could play in the pros? This is very easy to do for basketball. It's a little bit tougher to do in baseball. I think it's even harder to do in football because kids need to spend those 3 years in college, and then there's the injury risk. There's just the how tough football is, and are kids really giving it all it takes to make it to that next level? There are a lot of factors that go into being a professional football player, but I got three kids on my list, one in each class, who I think has pro potential. But Bodie, we'll start with you. Who do you think from San Diego could one day hear their name called in the NFL draft?
Yeah, the first one I think I'd have to mention is Tyler Buchner. I saw what he did at Bishop's for 3 years, and going back even before them, I got to see him play in middle school oftentimes, and you could tell so far back then that he was just advanced. Always has had a huge arm and has been a great athlete, was one of the top lacrosse players growing up, and actually committed to play lacrosse at Michigan before football interest started coming along. And then when he went to Bishop's, it became clear that he was just a next level type guy. And the way he was able to run the ball has always been impressive to me. I'll be interested to see how he switches that around, because what he did so often in high school of being able to run over guys in the secondary and even linebackers is oftentimes not going to work at the college level, especially at Notre Dame and the schedule that they'll play. So he did skip his senior year to enroll early. I think he would have played at Helix had the season happened as normal, but that's a guy that I could see 3-4 years down the road. With just fixing up a little things in his game, there's so much to work with, but he's a guy that I would expect to be in the NFL one day.
Ian Book, the old Notre Dame quarterback, is hoping to hear his name called this weekend's draft. Any chance Buckner could play early at Notre Dame? They do have a quarterback opening. I don't expect you to be a Notre Dame expert, Bodie, but have you heard anything potentially about Buckner coming in and having a chance to even compete for the job, or is this a situation where he probably has to sit for a little bit?
I think there's definitely been some talk about with him being able to enroll early and pick up on the offense and just get acquainted with college life and not just showing up in the summer and then having games in 6 weeks, that'll help him a lot. We talked about Ian Book, and I believe they brought in a grad transfer from maybe Boston College. So that's a guy that he'll likely compete with. And you know, Notre Dame's always going to bring in talented quarterbacks almost every year. So it's not that he'll just step in and grab it, but the skills I've seen from him over the years, it would be no surprise to me if he were able to win that from day one.
And we're seeing at every level, quarterbacks can come in and can play right away, more so than they have been in the past. You see it in the NFL, you see it in college, and even you see it in high school now. It's rare, but sometimes you do see that freshman come in. Look at Modern Day this year, and has a great year. Okay, I want to start with in the class of 2022. I couldn't pick anyone in the class of 2021 from my neck of the woods, so I'm going to 2022. Tetroa McMillan at Servite, the wide receiver. He isn't the top-ranked kid in that 2022 class, but he's right up there. Just what separates him is his crazy athleticism and his size. And when you're trying to project guys at the next level, that's where you have to start. Just, are they big enough? Because unless they're a running back, it's really tough to be smaller and to succeed. And I just think his athleticism, his ability to make big plays, that'll translate to wherever he decides to go to college. Last year, I was beating the drum for him. He's going to be a senior next year, so I'm really excited about him. I have two other guys as well, but Bodie, anyone else you want to mention?
Yeah, another class of 2021 guy, and that's Josh Simmons from down here. He transferred to Helix for senior year, ended up not playing, but picked up close to 30 offers during the recruiting process from just about every conference around the country. And then when it came down to it, he ended up selecting San Diego State, which I think is a good move for him. They, over the years, they've been able to develop so many linemen, especially on the offensive side. And him at 6'6", near 300 pounds, I think this is a guy who probably didn't play much and maybe redshirts during his freshman year. But once they work with him and the coaches they've had there, in the past that have really gotten these linemen ready to play. And offensively, they really have liked to run the ball over the past few years. They've had several running backs drafted. Josh is a guy that I think down the road in 4, maybe 5 years can hear his name called. There's just so much there to work with. And it's just a guy that is just so naturally talented.
The two others for me in the class of 2023, Los Alamitos quarterback Malachi Nelson, just looks like a pro to me. Again, he's only a sophomore, so it sounds kind of crazy saying that, but he was 7 for 7 for like 4 touchdowns in the one half that I watched him play. It was ridiculous. And I think he's going to end up at Oklahoma, and we all know about their ability to produce quarterbacks from Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray. Now Spencer Rattler's there, so I really think he's going to be next in line for them. And actually, well, there will be someone after Rattler, but then probably Nelson. If he decides to go there. And I just think he'll just continue that wave. He's so good. And then I'm going to say a freshman kid could make the NFL. So here we go. Kingston Viliamu Asa at St. John Bosco, the linebacker. I've been singing this kid's praises all year. It's one thing to come in and start at St. John Bosco, but it's another thing to come in and have as big of an impact as he did. He's also a 4.0 GPA kid. So I am really high on him. Every 2 seconds when St. John Bosco was on defense against Modern Day, you heard the PA guy mention this kid's name. He's just does not look like a freshman. He's just better than plays better than a young kid would, and I'm excited for him to get a little bigger and just continue to develop. Only one kid in the 2024 class has received an offer from Ohio State, and it's him. So I think that's going to help my case a little bit. All right, Bodie, so there we go. Hopefully 5 years from now we can replay this tape and say, I told you so.
I'll give you a couple more on these ones here. There's not a specific guy, but more so the group. The class of 2022, there's six defenders here that I couldn't tell you which will be the one, but I expect several of them to have the opportunity. Grayson Halton at St. Augustine is already committed to Oregon. And then three other defensive linemen, Zach Rowell at Torrey Pines, Jackson Moy at Cathedral Catholic, and Trayton White at Eastlake, all have received Power 5 offers so far. And then two defensive backs, Jaleel Florence at Lincoln and Jaleel Tucker at Lincoln as well. I think five of those six already have offers from Oregon, and it seems every week they're adding a couple more. So there's not really an offensive guy that's sticking out in the junior class, but those six defenders so far all look like they'll have huge senior years and be impact guys at the college level.
I like that. I didn't think there was anyone in 2021 who I wanted to mention. You don't have anyone on the offensive side of the ball. We're not forcing anything here. These aren't crazy predictions. These are actually what we think, because some people who are in the prediction business, as Rob Weigel likes to say, he isn't in the prediction business, but some people who are, they don't necessarily say what they think. We really think this. So again, 5 years from now, I want to play back the tape and be right. So that's why I'm staking my claim in these guys. Okay, he's Bodie DeSilva. We'll be joined with Lance Smith next week. Took the week off this week. I'm Connor Morissette. This has been the SB Live California Podcast. We will see you next time.